Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams along with Sherry Coolidge, Silent Film, the ones and twos. Our special guest today, CVG Airport CEO Candace McGraw. Looking forward to having her on, talking about all the exciting things that are going on at CVG with economic development and airlines getting back up and going again. But first, Dave DeVillers, the former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Ohio, spoke to a group in Columbus yesterday, and no longer the U.S. attorney, now a private attorney, talked about the potential of more indictments coming around the House Bill 6 First Energy related bribery scandal.
He said what he hinted at way back in the very first press conference. In that press conference, he said, you know, we have five main people arrested in the House Bill 6 scandal, including, of course, Larry Householder, which you wrote about in your column, because he's still a, you know, sitting House member. But he said at that press conference, there could be at least 20 more. And like, we were overwhelmed that day with all of the information that was coming at us and the details of House Bill 6. But that number has stuck with me, because what does it make you think? Who's the other 20?
Right. That's 20 around House. Like, right. Again, separate from that is his work that he did around city council. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's totally
different. I just
want to
make sure, like, people, yeah.
You're right. Because we don't want to, like, and it's still a guessing game at City Hall. You know, I don't have any, you know, news to break here on that. Just, you know, everyone is like, well, who's next? We don't have that. He said there's a culture of corruption, but he didn't say, I'm going to come and arrest some other council person. And there's a very different, you know, that's a different thing.
What is it that's taken – why has it taken so long? Sherry, you broke the story last summer on Larry Householder being arrested in the middle of the, almost $61 million bribery scandal. There were four other folks indicted, five total. And then, so
it's been hard to keep them all straight, because then we've seen, like – you know, the organizations kind of surrounding it. There's been indictments related to that. But we, you know, we're still waiting for, you know, some of the big money people, I think.
Okay.
You know, then that's a lot of guessing games. And of course, we can't name names here. Like, who those people might be. But I have to say, like, for someone who's not a sitting U.S. attorney at the moment, he sure hinted at a lot of things.
Is there any indication? And again, I know we can't. We got to be careful. Has there been any indication through your reporting or talking to folks on this that someone from Southwest Ohio, Cincinnati, could potentially be involved in this, or anything you can say on that?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the list, you know, you're like, okay, here's my short list of guests. And then it turns out, oh, wait, no, here's my super long list.
Yeah.
It's not fair to people, really, to do that. The one thing, you know, I will say, and he talked about this, and when people ask me, you know, directly, I do mention this. We have not had federal grand juries. This investigation is supposed to be moving so much quicker than it is.
Yeah.
But the pandemic, they're being super safe, you know, right kind of at the early part of the pandemic, you know, really the coronavirus swept through the courthouse with the U.S. Marshals Service. I mean, they're with these inmates, and it's not a jail, but they're, you know, they're escorting them, and it's not just white collar crime over there, right? There's drug crimes, there's crimes, and we're talking about a courthouse. And they just have not, they've been super safe, and not everything's been by phone. The PG Sittenfeld hearing to dismiss,
right.
I'm like listening to that on the phone. We would be in court for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's all been by Zoom, and they have not been running grand juries. I think that's really going to get up and going, though. He hinted at that. And, you know, everyone, I'm sure, feels like I do. We're coming out of this.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of what you just said, his quote, DeVillers' quote, as he's speaking to this group the other day in Columbus, he says, they're back.
Oh.
Meaning the grand juries. They're back. I guess he didn't draw that out, because it was just B-A-C-K. There was no B-A-A-A-A-A-A-C-K. So.
Yeah, we'll put that in there, though. because we always want to add a little bit of drama. Not that we need it around here, to be honest. Every day is full of drama, right, Jason?
Yes.
So we'll be watching for that. You guys, you follow our this the best thing. Gatehouse and Gannett merged, right? So that's like our backstory. Yeah. But the Columbus with our parent companies, you know, merging a while ago now, we are really up and running with the Columbus Dispatch being our sister paper. And we work so closely with them. I feel like they're my actual coworkers now. We see them in these Teams meetings and when we're you know, partnering with them on stories and talking to them, well, I'll do this and you do that. And like, it's a news barrage coming out of there. So, you know, we've talked about our people before, Jesse Ballmert, Jackie Borchert up there, and Anna.
And you too. I mean, you've been keeping touch because the Southern District of Ohio, the same U.S. Attorney office handles the State House, or, you know, the district falls, the State House falls in that district, as does the City Council, all in the same district.
Real quick, Jason.
City Hall.
You got anything on that? I know you might. I just saw you on the phone. Like, what do you got? Do you know who the new U.S. District Attorney is?
I don't.
All right.
I was talking to someone in Columbus, but it was related to Larry Householder, but it was, yeah.
Probably like anyhow. June, don't you think? Like, that's the kind of, you know, there's a short list, I think, floating around. Speaking of names, I've heard the guessing games around that has been huge. Yeah. And so we're going to be looking for that person to be chosen and at the most critical time.
Absolutely. And you've talked before about how cases, no matter who the head of the department is that cases move on. They continue on. And there are many, many other attorneys in these offices that continue on with the cases. So we'll be following your coverage, Jesse Ballmer, Jackie Borchert, and our team in Columbus on that. And with that, we'll switch over and bring on Airport CEO Candace McGraw. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast, and really pleased to welcome Candace McGraw, CVG Airport CEO. Candace, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Best day of the year.
I know you love it.
I'm wearing green.
You should see my office, festooned in green. And we normally do a big St. Patrick's Day party here for all of our team members. We had to postpone it last year, postpone it this year. So next year it'll be even better.
Love it. You know, I was researching and, you know, I keep tabs. As you know, I covered the airport beat for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I first started the Inquirer and you and I got to know each other really well. And I was trying to get my arms around all the great things that are happening at CVG and what to even ask you about first. And I think, you know, hey, we're coming out of COVID. It's spring break's coming up. Things are looking up not only in the industry, but for CVG, right? I mean, as you're coming, things have already been looking up for CVG, but now you're coming out of COVID and talk about what's happening right now at CVG as COVID is sort of winding down.
Sure. So, you know, as you mentioned, you and I have known each other a long time, and that was, you know, during the start of the ramping up of additional carriers and passenger growth, et cetera. And for a number of years, we were the fastest growing passenger and cargo airport in the country. All of that came to a screeching halt with the pandemic, of course. But we're now seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. We see leisure traffic starting to return. So if your listeners would think about the passengers that we had in 2019, we only had about 40% of those passengers for 2020. This year we budgeted 50%, but hopefully we will exceed that. You know, industry-wide, the passenger return, however, is not going to come back till probably 2023, 2024, but that's really predicated on corporate traffic. So For those of your folks who want to go on their spring breaks, summer vacations, airports have never been cleaner, airlines have never been cleaner. You know, we do, with the vaccination schedule improving, you know, we are seeing a lot more people come to the airport and really excited about that. You know, we had some great service announcements coming. Alaska Airlines is starting service here in May. New airline to the airport, so folks want direct service to Seattle. Sun Country is starting in May, direct service to Minneapolis. And frankly, I already booked my ticket on there because I want to go see Paisley Park and hang out at the Prince exhibit. And then one of the fun things that's really selling like hotcakes are tickets to Key West, Florida on Allegiant. So good things happening on the passenger front, starting to see that return. And if we don't want to talk a little about cargo, booming throughout the pandemic, you know, everybody wanting their either PPE flying or their Amazon trucks running up and down your neighborhood. So we had, you know, a 20% increase in our cargo last year, and that was on top of a five-year record, and that only continues to increase. Last month we had a 38% year-over-year increase in cargo. So I do think good things are ahead for us. Good things are ahead for this community. So it is like a, you know, spring is coming in that sense of renewed hope.
When you're talking about cargo, do you mean like Amazon packages, like all the things that come to my house? Are you talking like big cargo? What does cargo
everything,
mean?
Right? I think the packages that are coming to both your and my house, and then large cargo as well. So we have two big cargo giants operating here at CVG, and FedEx operates here as well. So DHL, we're their largest site in the Americas. We are their second largest operation in the world, only behind their operation in Leipzig, Germany. So they are a powerhouse, transporting cargo all over the globe every night out of here. And then Amazon is building its largest U.S. hub here at CVG. And that construction has been ongoing and is set to open before the holiday season this year.
Every time. I have a friend that lives alone, and during the pandemic, that's been difficult. So he's been coming a lot to see me and navigating the flights and mask wearing. Candace, every time I go to pick him up, it's like a whole new airport. Like, it's unbelievable, like, how it's all coming up out of the ground. And I feel like we're not getting enough love for this Amazon. It's this gigantic footprint. I can't even imagine, like, the jobs that are going to come. And you hear, like, oh, Amazon's going to build a hub in New York and these other cities. And I'm like, no, right here. I can see it.
But yeah, I'll tell you, the Amazon site itself, they have two parcels on which they can build. What they're constructing now is on a 600-acre parcel, huge. The first phase of this will be open this before the holiday season this year. It's like a mile in length of just their one big sort facility building, probably about day one, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 employees starting on day one.
Wow.
You know, highly automated. I'm dying to get in there and to see, you know, apparently this is state-of-the-art robotics operating as well. This will be huge for our community. Their overall investment in that site alone is $1.5 billion. So that's $1.5 billion worth of construction jobs that have been going on during this pandemic. And that doesn't even account for, you know, ongoing employment and what the economic spin will be, you know, once they're operational, right? So we have, the airport pre-pandemic had a $6.8 billion annual economic impact on the community. So we're, like, keenly focused on getting our operations, having them continue to move and growing them, right? Because it means jobs. It means, you know, roofs over people's head, you know, braces on kids' teeth. That's what we do here.
You, talking about the cargo part and sort of from that, Sherry's right. Like, you don't hear a lot about it, but, you know, we talk so much about Kroger and Procter and Gamble and some of those industries and businesses. But cargo, I mean, like you said, we're the sixth or seventh largest in North America, 22nd largest cargo airport in the world. How many employees across the board. DHL, Atlas Air is based here. Robbie said Amazon Air Hub is coming here. How many employees are across that whole industry here in just in our region or in CVG?
Oh, gosh. Huge. Thousands and thousands. You're absolutely right. I mean, DHL probably has about, I want to say, maybe 5,000 employees just here on our CVG campus every day. 5,000 people.
Wow.
Amazon will add several thousand. Atlas Air, you mentioned, you know, just built a great new building off of I-71. They fly for both Amazon, DHL, and some of the other cargo carriers. We are now their largest operation globally, and I think when that facility opens, they're going to have maybe another 800 or 900 jobs here. So I like to call us, and I'm going to push it until everybody adopts it, we are the epicenter of e-commerce here at CVG.
Yeah.
I know Centrifuge is talking about us as the great supply way. You know, when you think about, as you mentioned, the Krogers, the P&Gs, it's, as we saw in the pandemic, it's all about supply chain. Can you get your goods into people's hands, you know, as fast as possible? And that's what we're hoping to facilitate here.
Was that because, I remember, like, I wrote, like, just a crazy story one day, like, off my beat. Editors are like, Concourse C's closing. Can you go write a story about it? I'm like, you want me to write a story about a concourse closing? But I remember, like, people just, once I wrote that story, like, people were telling their stories about going in and out of there. And it was kind of like, what's next? Was it because we had all this room to grow that we became this? Or is it more the location?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. One, I think, you know, we stabilized, as you talked about Concourse C closing, right? We stabilized that passenger loss, brought in a lot of carriers, diversified that, brought fares way the heck down, and then grew the passenger base. And then we said, all right, we have a great partner in DHL, you know, one of the most fabulous business partners ever, but we also need to diversify cargo. We learned our lesson. We didn't want to put all our eggs in one basket. So with this Amazon project, when we were negotiating out the lease, it became clear to me that the way the negotiations were going is they were talking to either us and another airport or two at the same time, trying to figure out where they were going to get the best deal. So finally, when we closed the deal, I turned to the fellow and I said, clearly, you know, you were dating a lot of folks. Why did you decide to marry up with us? What was it? And he said, here were the four factors. One, we had a great runway infrastructure already in place. Two, we had a great highway system. Three, we had great workforce availability that was trained. And fourth, we can move at the speed of business. We were very business friendly to get this deal done so that they can get here and get operational. So I think those were the distinctions for us.
Is there room to grow beyond this? Now, is there like way more plots of land where you're, you know, kind of courting, like, you know, your new husband?
Well, we do like to play the field. So we have about 7,700 acres here at CVG, a lot of which is already developed. We also got into the land development business as another source of revenue for us, right? We tried to have passenger revenue. Then we tried to get cargo revenue. And then we had some great land available that we went about developing purposely and still plots available, if anybody's listening, that's going to support our business, right, that maybe wants to be near DHL to ship their goods or be near Amazon. Or what we're looking at for our next five-year plan is saying, all right, how do we develop land to grow hangars here, avionics shops, those high-end tech jobs that come with all of this. So when planes fly in at night and they need their maintenance, we know they're not going to fly out empty in the morning. So they're either going to put a cargo container on it or they're going to put passengers. So it then becomes a continual loop, right? So they need the maintenance, we'll bring the plane, the plane's here, they're going to fill it up again. And so we want to just perpetuate that cycle.
Switching over to the passenger side, and you know, obviously it is spring break season, and you know, Candace, I was thinking back to, was it 2014 when Allegiant announced they were starting their first flight here? Is that?
Yeah, that's about the right time frame, sure.
And Where are they at now? How many, like, I can't even keep track of where they're at now with how many flights and cities they're going to.
Oh, yeah, no. So we're one of their top destination airports. I haven't counted recently, but maybe they have 20 direct flights,
wow,
maybe more. We're one of the top airports in their network. We're one of the top, I want to say, 10 networks in Frontier's network as well. So, you know, great low-cost options out of CVG. You know, Southwest came in a few years ago, and, you know, they're growing slower than what we anticipated, you know, in large part during the pandemic, but they're growing. I think there's, you know, a lot of opportunity for passenger service here at really great fares. So, you know, any of your listeners, go on our website, right? We have a lot of things, and we have an ability, you can kind of enter in like, hey, I might want to do a beach vacation. It'll pull up some options for you. I might want to go, you know, out to the mountains and hike. It'll give you some great destinations and airfares as well. So,
I did not know about this feature.
CVGAirport.com?
Yeah, CVGAirport.com. A wealth of information for you.
I didn't know you can plan your vacation on it. Like, you know, I just feel like you use the airport as like you plan a vacation, you find your air, you know, fare and your
gate.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's cool. You talked about, obviously, with Allegiant coming in, shoot, now 7 years ago or so, almost 7 years, they were the first low-cost carrier to really take that step after you had really – in your process and your hard work and your team's hard work of reinventing CVG. And I remember you and I talking hours upon hours about that and the reinvention and the process it was going through and moving from, you know, the Delta hub to that multi-carrier airport. And I think the reward or the for the region is lower fares. And, you know, I was looking back at some of the CVG's tweets and, in January, I guess coming out of the last quarter of last year. It's so cool to see this, Candace. The average airfare at CVG, $220. That's $25 lower than the national average. And that is also what you guys had tweeted was that that's a 25-year low for the airport. Just truly amazing to think. I remember when fares were up in the around 500 range.
I can't and you have to fly out of Dayton because and it was this was
Dayton, Columbus.
So
yeah.
I can't remember the last time I drove to Dayton to take a flight.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. You know, I think, yeah, you know, we really worked hard to try to bring in a variety of carriers. So if folks want that front of the cabin experience, you can have that. If you want a more price sensitive experience, you can have that as well, right? But I think on average, I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but from where we were at the height of the airfares to where they are now, I want to say it's about a $225 savings per ticket, right?
Wow.
So that's significant money. If, you know, you want to take your family of four on vacation,
sure is.
You know, that's money you can use for a hotel, you can, you know, buy your trinkets at Disney, whatever you want to do, right? But it was really about getting value and choice for folks here in the region.
So I am one of those spring break people. I'll be in the airport next week.
Oh, great. Where are you going?
Florida. My aunt lives in Florida. In fact, I probably took one of the last flights before the shutdown. I went to visit her to get through a lot of my asthma issues right before the shutdown. And now I'm going back. What can I expect? Like, what does the airport look like?
Yeah. So, I think it'll look different when folks come back who haven't traveled a while. First, as you just even arrive at the airport, it's going to be a different experience as you're driving in. You know, we're in the process of completing a rental car facility at the upon our front door. So the roadways even into the airport have been redone. That building is under construction and will be open later this fall. But as you walk in the front door, you're going to see all the things that we've become accustomed to see during the pandemic. Plexiglass shields, a lot of cleaning going on, hand sanitizer stations everywhere. We're going to ask you to socially distance, but you're going to hopefully have that same seamless experience, but you'll just notice a higher level of cleanliness and you know, precautionary things like the plexiglass, hand sanitizer, etc.
Do I need to, like, block out more time, or is this pretty much the same time to get through everything?
We asked you to come a little bit earlier, just in case, but I have to say we're getting folks through pretty darn quickly. So I think with the increased traffic, though, we've seen some increased parking demand. So just allow yourself enough time for parking, get through security. Again, if you, for your listeners, go to our airport CV, our website at cvgairport.com. We list the TSA wait check times, too. Now, then those are based on when somebody is standing at the end of the line at the checkpoint to get completely through. So allow yourself enough time to get to the ticket counter, et cetera. But it gives you an indication of the wait times.
Here's a secret about me. There is no assignment that I don't get to like 10 minutes early. Like if you're late to assignment when you're a reporter, you miss it. The end. There's no flight that I'm not late for. I've missed so many flights in my life. I went to Hawaii 2 years ago, and my friends are like, where are you? I'm like, I'm leaving in, like, I don't know, like 15 minutes. They're like, the flight's taking off in 5 minutes. I was like, oh, I missed the whole flight to Hawaii.
Oh, no, that's horrible. Well, make sure you come early, because when you do come early, too, you can go to one of our, you know, concessions that are open, one of the bars, restaurants. If for whatever reason, you know, you don't feel comfortable sitting there, one of the things we did do is you can buy your alcoholic beverage and take it to your gate area and enjoy your, you know, adult beverage socially distanced from other folks, right?
That is what I meant by little tips. Right there. See, there we go.
Is that new since the pandemic?
It is. It's new since the pandemic. You know, with some of the I don't know, rules and regulations that have been in place, you know, shutting down some of the restaurants and bars, we still wanted to have that available. So we were able to go through an application process, and it's essentially, you know, licensed as an entertainment district. We're not promoting it as such because, you know, this isn't New Orleans. But, you know, if you want to have a beer, take it to your gate, have a, you know, you can sit down there and get a bite to eat if you don't want to sit in one of the restaurants.
That's great. And that's just one more example of the work that you and your team have done to make CVG a welcoming place and customer friendly. And I was trying to think of other things. Oh, yeah, you mentioned how the airport looks different now, and I know that was also. It's crazy to think that all the things that have gone on, but for folks that maybe haven't been at the airport recently, or maybe they're planning on coming back. Remember the airport used to be three terminals. Now you're at one terminal, and you brought everything really kind of consolidated into around the one, you know, big terminal. Is all that work done now, or is there still work to be done on that?
Well, the work here at the airport is never ending, right?
Yeah.
We just started and the passengers won't see this, it won't impact them, but we just started this week a huge runway project. So our longest runway here needed some rehabilitation work, and that's the one that accommodates primarily the cargo aircraft at night. We just closed that down this past Monday. That'll be under construction to the end of this year, a $69 million project that is equivalent to 70 miles of highway when you have to tear up the concrete, et cetera.
Wow.
That project's going on. At the same time, we have the front of the airport almost ready for folks. We're doing a project, it's the bane of travelers with all of our moving walkways and escalators, but those are all being redone, right? So it's always a work in progress here.
Yeah.
Always a work in progress.
You know, two, three, I don't know, four cities or so that you'd really are focusing on trying to add flights to in particular. I know the business community they're always asking for, hey, can we get another flight to wherever, New York or Boston?
Sure.
Is there any?
Yeah, particularly difficult with the pandemic, or, you know, the business travel, the leisure travel has come back. The corporate travel has been much slower, and that's not only in Cincinnati, but that's nationally, and that'll continue to lag. So we're hopeful that, you know, businesses will be comfortable traveling again. We're hopeful there won't be a substitution mode, right, that, you know, everybody's gotten used to their you know, Zoom and virtual calls, that, you know, we want people to get back and traveling for business. And once we see where those cities are coming back, you know, the carriers have told us that they will definitely return those flights. And then we'll see if there's any gaps that we really need to actively search and try to fill.
You still, obviously, I know, too, it's the pandemic, and so things are different now. But I know it's always, for you as well, has been an ongoing effort to add more international flights. Mm-hmm. We still have the Delta flight to Paris.
Right, and that's scheduled to resume in July right now.
Oh, great.
And we have, you know, the flight to Toronto that they'll bring back once the Canadian border opens. I'll tell you, I think we were, pre-pandemic, we were fairly close to sealing a deal on an international destination.
Really?
I'm hopeful once things settle out, once the European communities in particular, you know, that have been so hard hit can settle out. It, unfortunately, you know, the pandemic is going to delay the addition of international flights because Europe was really one of our key target markets, and they've been so very hard hit. But, you know, we've continued to have conversations with the carriers, and again, when the traffic warrants and the regulations, you know, allow, we'll be at it again.
As you know, I love a good airline scoop, so I'm kicking into reporter
I'll be
mode.
Happy to call you first. I'll call you first.
Some things never change, even if you move on to politics column writing. You still want the airport scoops. I get that.
Now, is this discussions? See, now I'm going to pry. Is this discussions with a current airline or a new airline?
for international?
Yeah.
New.
And new.
And that's as much as you're getting out of me.
I knew you were getting ready to say that. That's fantastic.
This is how Jason works, you guys, for real. I mean, the pre-pandemic, I remember, right, Candace? He does wear you down, doesn't he?
Oh, please, like a dog with a bone.
Yes. Yes.
I'm excited for, you know, all the great work that you're doing and you've done. And
well, you know the team here, right?
I mean,
these are really good people here. You know, I always say we have the best team in the business. You know, folks show up here because they want to serve the community. Like I said, we do our airport job, but we recognize it's not about the airport. It's about keeping business moving. It's about, you know, grandma being able to go see her grandchildren, or, you know, Sherry being able to go see her grandmother, right? That's what we do. That's why we're here.
Hitting up on time, but I want to ask you a fun question.
Okay.
You like to travel. Obviously, you're the airport. What's your absolute favorite place to travel to?
Oh, gosh. My favorite place that I've already been that I love and can't wait to get back to, anywhere in Italy, right? Great wine, great food, you know, beautiful museums. So anywhere in Italy is my favorite. Other places on my list to get to, I've been looking at, sometime I really want to get to Russia. That's top of my list. I want to go to St. Petersburg. Mm. I don't know. There's very few places that I wouldn't be excited about going. And at this point, I'd just be happy to get on the plane and get to Punxsutawney, you know, so.
Yes, I do know.
Are you have you flown at all during the pandemic?
I did. Just once, I have to say, and I do have a trip coming up in a few weeks. But in September, I flew to Florida. My son got married.
Oh, congrats.
A very small wedding for any of your listeners that are worried about. We had 8 people there. That was all. It was a very small wedding.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was great. And so my husband and daughter and I flew to Florida for that wedding.
That's awesome.
And I have to say, it was a great experience, right? We felt totally safe. Again, airports and airplanes have never been cleaner. So it's all a matter of, you know, are you going to a destination where you will feel safe and people are taking the precautions that, you know, you're comfortable with? And hopefully we won't even have to be talking about that, you know, months from now.
Yeah, absolutely. Candace, thanks so much. And just say hey to all the team and Carol and everyone at CVG for us. And thanks for everything. Thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, it's always good catching up with you. And thanks for letting me talk about the airport.
All right. Thanks again to Candace McGraw. And I just, I've known Candace for a long time and just really appreciate her leadership and the things that she's done to transform the airport and such a critical asset to our economic development, our jobs situation here and the entire region. So thanks to her again for coming on.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask her. Here's my, I'm not only always late to the airport, my bag's always overweight because I bring so much stuff with me. I really feel like if like there's going to be regulations we get rid of, that's the one. I'm just saying. Anyway, next time, I'll ask her next time.
The Sherry Clause. And Sherry, that brings us to our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. And I feel like I'm not carrying my weight here on this. Like, you're always the one doing all the fun So Cincinnati things. And I'm turning to you again today because I saw it pop up on Facebook and I'm like, this has got to be the moment.
You know, this is not a new moment, I think, for most people, but it's new to me. You know, it is spring. I went out on the Loveland Bike Trail. We've talked about this. It was so nice on Sunday. You know, the sun really wasn't out, but the weather, you know, app promised me that it would be. And I was like, all right, let's do this. So we got the bikes down from the garage, you know, on the ceiling. And yeah. They, you know, dusted them off, blew up the tires and put the air in them. Went out there. So we parked at 50 West like we always do.
Yeah.
And we were definitely planning to go there. There was not one parking space. Like,
that's
even
tough.
Like at the height of the pandemic when everyone was trying to be outside, like it just, people just must have been like, spring. Like there were teeming with people. But that's how we like it because it's super fun that way. So we're on the bike trail and we rode way out. Badly needed exercise. On the way back, one of my friends was like, well, let's, you know, you go down at the Milford Trailhead. You walk your bikes down a huge steep hill you can't ride. You cross the street, and there's the little Miami Brewing Company.
Right there across the river, right?
Yeah, and it has a river view. We sat outside a four top, like, high table, and people were kayaking. The river was super rough. I was like, ooh, more power to them.
And cold.
And so you just kind of watch the kayakers go by. People brought their kids. I mean, it was such – we are so lucky to have the river here. Like, it was just – it was a really pretty brew. So I felt like I was cheating on 50 West. but that was a really nice afternoon. Then, of course, the sun went in. And it wasn't daylight savings time yet. Ooh, the ride back was freezing. It was, like, dark and cold, and we were like, whoops.
Was Jack with you?
No. Okay. We let Jack stay home alone at age almost 13.
That's crazy, isn't it?
He hasn't had, like, a lot of, like, that independence is missing in the pandemic. Because I'm like, he's like, oh, you go without me, and I'll be here alone with the dog. And I was like, what would you do here that you don't do when we're here? And I think the answer that every mother knows is, I don't want to know.
Oh, I was going to say play video games. But yeah.
But that's what he does when we're there.
Oh, yeah.
talks to his friends, you know, through the chat apps. And it's like, okay, fine. But it was a very nice, like, Sunday afternoon date.
I love it. Love it.
We'll have to go there.
I know. We do. Yeah.
You can kayak and then drag your kayak on the bank and then walk up.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Because you and I talked the other day about it's getting the kayak season. And you're the one that got me because my wife said, you got to get a hobby. And you were the one that convinced me. That's the hobby I was going to do.
It is expensive at the outset because you have to get the kayak and then some way to, you know, transport it, right? Like a roof rack and that kind of stuff. But then after that, we just have so many places to drop your kayak in around here. You know, we had considered going kayaking on a lake, right? Where it was nice and still and you wouldn't like get wet or fall in. We ultimately took that bike ride. But once you have the kayak, then, you know, you just take it wherever you want to go and just drop in. It is a good hobby.
So we're all come back from our spring break and the weather should be warm again. And you know what? I think we're due to just get out there and have some fun. It's been a sprint this year. I don't know if the sprint's really going to stop, but I'm going to take a week and you're going to take a week. And then
we said that. We knew that it was going to be busy in a sprint and crazy, but saying it and predicting it are two different things than living it.
Definitely. at Sharon Coolidge on Twitter, scoolidge@inquirer.com, at J Williams Cincy on Twitter, and jwilliams@inquirer.com to contact us. And appreciate all of your support of the podcast, and we'll catch you next week.